Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Praise God. And we're having a love fest this morning, and how appropriate. The Lord has been so wonderful and merciful to us, and I just praise Him. Well, I'll just share thoughts that I've had that I believe relate to the course we've been taking on spiritual warfare, the unseen war. And as most of you, I think, know, this week's lesson had to do with living in victory. And thank God that there is such a place. But I had some thoughts this week, because there's an area of truth that is relative to that that we somehow don't associate with living in victory. And that is, when we fall short, how do you put that together? How do we live in victory and yet we fall short? Where does that fit in, and how does that work? And of course, the Lord has ways of reminding me about things like that, and all of us. And I'm sure there's nobody here, right, that's experienced any of that this week. Everything is just living in victory. I think if we're honest, we soon discover that living in victory doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean we never mess up. It doesn't mean any of those kinds of things. And it's not like we go along and, man, I've had an awesome day. I've talked to the Lord. I'm feeling good. I haven't robbed any banks. Haven't done anything, you know, out of line, and I'm living in victory. And then the next morning something happens, you have a wrong attitude, or your mind goes in the wrong place, or something. Some weakness shows up. Okay, the victory's all over, I'm not in victory anymore. And it's like we're in and out. But I believe the Lord wants us to remember the things that we know are true, that this is that living for the Lord is a process that where we have to grow and learn. And living in victory is not, it's not, like we said, it's not perfection. It's not like never messing up. But I believe the Lord has to really remind us how to handle all of that so that we still live in victory. You know, obviously Paul plainly tells us, I haven't arrived. But what was he doing? He was forgetting what was behind and moving forward. So I heard an expression years ago from a pastor that I believe really, you know, had some truth. And he said, it's not about perfection. It's about direction. And as long as we're continually focused in the right direction, that is victory. Even when we stumble in the process, direction, continued direction is victory. And you know, Paul certainly describes his own struggles. You know, who's afraid, and I don't experience that. Who, you know, I forget some of the exact quotes, but anyway, he talks about that. But if perfection had to do with, I mean, if our standing in God had anything to do with our performance, none of us would have any standing. Thank God. Think about the book of Ephesians again that we've referred to so many times, and all the awesome things that it says about our identity in Christ. We're chosen, we're loved, we're, you know, all the destiny, we're sealed for a certain destiny, all of those wonderful things. And then you get into chapter 4, and Paul starts listing all the things. All right, stop doing this, don't do this, you know, and it's all kinds of stuff that we know doesn't have anything to do with being God's, you know, this is not consistent with being God's chosen people. And so somehow that has to all go together, because what he was warning them about didn't have anything to do with their identity. It's a matter of learning how to live out their identity instead of the old identity, and understanding that doesn't happen all at once. And so obviously Paul was well aware that we still have a battle throughout life. He had them worse than most other people. And so he had to learn how to cope. And of course, you know, you look at Romans 7, and you see the struggles that he had as this former religious Pharisee who thought serving God was just gearing up your will and doing it. And he discovered it doesn't work that way. And so he had to learn the hard way that that doesn't work. And okay, God, I get it. What's your plan? Now, did that mean Paul was just an utter failure and God was ready to toss him out? Did he lose his standing? God had called him and said, you're a chosen vessel. All right, chosen vessel. Well, let's see how you perform here. You think you know how to do it? You're going to have to learn. And so was that defeat? In the long run, that was a stepping stone in victory and in learning. Because if he hadn't gone that way, he would never have learned that lesson. But you know, we have a human ways of dealing with failure, if you want to just use the plain word. One of the ways that we deal with it is sort of blow it off. And you can blow it off by just saying, well, that's just what I am. I'm this way. I've been that way all my life. That ain't going to change. He loves me just as I am. Well, you can take that to an extreme. He loves me enough to change me and to work in my heart to change me. Yes, he does love me. He starts loving me. He doesn't wait for me to get better to love me. But he loves me enough to work to bring me to what he wants. So just kind of a blowing it off or just saying, well, you know, look at the cross. It's all taken care of anyway. I can play with this and go along with that, and it's not a big deal. It's just the way I am. God's going to have to take me that way. Obviously, that's not right, is it? That's not victory. But the other way is the way I think most of us tend to react, and that's all of a sudden we are just overcome with a sense of, oh, God, I really wanted to serve you, and I just failed. Oh, God. And then all of your attention goes to the failure and the sense of weakness. Oh, my God, I thought I had a handle on this, and I don't. And, oh, God, what am I? What must you think of me? And you start listening to some lies, don't you? Where does that kind of wisdom come from? What is it that's promoting? Who is it that's promoting those kinds of thoughts? And that's what we've been learning about. But see, this is part of it. Living in victory doesn't mean perfection. But when we experience imperfection, that's when the devil tries to jump in with all fours and remind us that that's what you are and just feed us with all kinds of lies and get us so focused on that we just wallow in defeat. And then you think, then he's going to whisper and say, are you really the Lord's? If you were really the Lord, you wouldn't do that. Or you're always going to be this way. You thought you had it licked and you thought you had me defeated and I've just proven, ha ha. And it goes on and on and on if we let it. If we let it. You know, my mind's gone back several times to the service a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about, you know, that we were created to rule and God gave us, the first thing he gave us to rule was this. Our bodies, our minds, our wills, our all of that. And I thought of an alternate title for the service or for that message because we're talking about, you know, taking possession of this and saying, hey, this is my property. So the alternate title would be Get Off My Property. That would be memorable, wouldn't it? Don't we have the right to tell the devil to get off our property? Yeah, that's a good way to remember that simple thing. When thoughts come that are contrary to the word, and we know it's contrary to the word, we can't say, oh, well, I did that, I deserve it. Thank God that we don't live before God by what we deserve, because none of us would have any reason to be here or have a lick of hope. Has nothing to do with that. That's what mercy is all about. Thank God. Thank God we can come into his presence, not because of any goodness or any effort on our part, but because of what he has done. That foundation the devil can never shake. He can so focus us on the wrong thing that all of a sudden we just begin to experience a mentality of defeat, and it becomes in a sense, it becomes an identity that we begin to believe. So functionally, it doesn't matter. We can be the Lord's, and he loves us, and he's wanting to get our attention, but there we are. And in our minds, our identity is, I'm a failure. I'll never amount to anything. I can't do anything. No matter what I do, it's always my fault. I'm bad. And on and on and on it goes if we let it. But God wants to take us past that to the point where we will believe this. And when Satan gives us a lie and plants it in our minds, we have a right to go to this book and its promises and point right back to Christ and what he has done and its effectiveness. And it's for me. It's not just not for the good guys. There are no good guys. I don't care if you were born in church or if you were out in the prison somewhere because you murdered somebody. We have the same need. And we have the same Christ who gave his all to make it possible that we have a way home. Thank God. Thank God for all of that. So that's the thing. We need to, but somehow this idea, this reality, it's not an idea, this reality that there are times when we mess up and fall in the mud. And there's no other way to put it. And we can't blow it off and we can't wallow. So what in the world is God's plan for handling that? How does that fit in with living a victorious life? It's a good question, isn't it? You think the Lord wants to help us in this area? I'm sure I won't ask for a show of hands about people who struggle with this or who are there right now because this week you really messed up. You're thinking about it, aren't you? Well, the truth is, the Lord allowed me to mess up real good in an area where I just have a need and I just need the Lord. But he's faithful. Amen. He's faithful. And I believe it happened for a reason because the Lord wants, it isn't just me. It's every single one of us that love the Lord and want to serve him. So anyway, I thought of a couple of scriptures that I think help to point us in the right direction. And I'll just read from 1 John chapter 1. And John writes simple language, good thing. But in verse 5, he begins this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Praise God. Everything down here is just a little of each, maybe at best. There's no darkness in him at all. It is pure light. Thank God. And human nature doesn't want to come into the light. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? The problem with people is they love darkness rather than light. Why? Why do they do that? Because their deeds are evil. And they don't want to come into the light because that'll expose what they really are. How many of you, when you mess up, just want to run to the light and say, yes? Oh God, I'm so ashamed. You know, we go through that. We experience that. Well, it's good to have a conscience. Thank God we got a conscience. What would it be if we didn't? If we just thought, oh, that's great. That's no big deal. But anyway, God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. So then you got the condition of the world. Really, at best, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness. Well, walking in the darkness doesn't mean falling in the mud one day and then getting up. It means that's your lifestyle. You really have never given up sin. You know something is wrong and you're just going to do it anyway.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.